This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Well, today's topic is value add plays and repositioning. If you are a real estate investor, you can just find some nice properties that cash flow well, buy a bunch of them, and just collect the rents each month. If you bought well, meaning a good market with a good demand for rentals, and you can keep the units rented, well managed, and have an adequate budget to maintain the properties, you will likely see that property cash flow for a while. Your main focus is cash flow or monthly income, and that's it. That's what we call the classic buy and hold. And then there's a more strategic approach. It involves buying properties that are also in a good market with good demand, and you have the intention of making good cash flow as well. But in addition to cash flow, your goal is to see it appreciate in value in a relatively short period of time, and to sell it at a significant profit and to use that money to buy a bigger property or multiple properties and then do the same, kind of like rinse and repeat. And who's to say which idea is better? If you've listened to the Old Dogs REI Network, you know that I've had lots of guests on my show who have talked about how they bought this 200-unit apartment, for example, for $3 million, did a value-add play, and in 2 to 3 years, it cash flowed at 50% more than before. And then he or she sells it for $11 million. True stories. And people do it all the time, maybe not to those extremes, but it is a popular strategy being used by a lot of multifamily real estate investors today. It's called a value add play. What is a value add play? Well, here's a definition of it. Value add commercial real estate investments typically target properties that have in-place cash flow, but seek to increase that cash flow over time by making improvements or repositioning the property. This could include making physical improvements to the asset that will allow it to command higher rents, increase efforts to lease vacant spaces at the property to quality tenants, and/or improve the management of the property, and thereby increasing customer satisfaction or lowering operating expenses where possible. Once the operator has successfully increased the net operating income of the property, they typically seek to sell the asset to capture the resulting appreciation in value. These operators often employ the use of medium to high leverage to finance their properties and increase returns to themselves and their investors. Successful value-add projects will typically generate higher financial returns to investors than core investments due to the appreciation in value. However, these projects bear more risk due to the fact that at the time of acquisition, the property is not operating at its full potential, oftentimes because it is not fully leased, is leased below market rents, has not been properly managed, or is poorly managed. If the operator does not execute the proposed business plan, then they can fail to meet their projections and could be forced to sell the property at a lower price than expected. For many investors, however, value-add projects provide the perfect balance of risk versus return, offering in place cash flow at the time of acquisition with significant upside potential in the form of value appreciation. So simply stated, if you increase your cash flow and profit, you will increase the value of the asset. Value add is not to be confused with a major construction play, for example, where you need to like gut the property down to 2x4s and almost rebuild it from scratch. That would be a much different, you could call that value add, but really it's not your typical value add. That's a sort of a major rebuild effort, almost like a fix and flip for apartments. The idea is that your capital investment for a value add play will be recouped in a relatively short period of time as part of your business plan and your profit projections. So why am I even talking about this? Well, I really believe this is a great thing about multifamily that you can't do with single family homes. Sure, you can do a fix and flip. You can move into an area, you can buy a junky house, fix it up, and bring it up to the maximum market prices and sell it and make a profit. And that's not the same as a value add play, because really you're not going to go beyond the market prices. But with multifamily, you can do things to a property to make it worth more than the market. And I know you may say, well, that's not right. You can sell that property because it's really, you're looking at selling a business, a real business that has profits and has expenses and so forth. It is a business asset, not just a piece of property that is subject to market comps, which is a single family. Now, I think it's a good strategy you should be well aware of. And for me, it's what I've employed as a short-term strategy that'll help me to leverage my goal to achieve 1,000 units by 2020, especially as my goal counts on me doubling the number of units I have each year, which is a pretty aggressive move. So what does a value-add play look like? Well, first, you need to find an underpriced property, or at least negotiate the price down below market. Why? Because part of what you're trying to do is to create instant equity in that property. So at the close of escrow, when you sign your papers, you immediately have equity in that property. It'll help you to step up on your end goal. It needs to be in a strong or growing market, a place where there's going to be an opportunity for increased equity buildup. So you've got hopefully good jobs, good economy, a lot of things happening locally that'll help contribute to that. It needs to be in a good rental market too. There needs to be a strong demand for rentals, especially whatever rentals you are offering. And hopefully it's renting under market when you buy it. That means you have a space to be able to increase rents. There have to be physical improvements too that you can do to that property. That's part of how you leverage that increase in rents and cash flow ultimately. Types of physical improvements that are real common for value add plays are things like upgrading the exterior, improve the curb appeal. What does it look like from the street level? Sometimes it includes painting, landscaping, putting a new signage in front, resurfacing the parking lot, fixing up the pool area, maybe adding a dog run or a dog park, maybe barbecue area or a play area for kids. So there's a number of things you can do in the exterior to make it worth more value and improve the appearance. Also, the interior common areas, hallways, laundry rooms, community rooms, workout rooms, whatever it may be, improving those, upgrading those to maybe nicer equipment in the workout room, maybe buying new washer and dryers in the laundry room. And the units as well, you want to be able to, paint, maybe put new windows or upgrade windows or window coverings, floors. You may want to go to wood floors from carpet, or you may want a carpet from wood. Kitchen countertops are often upgraded, as well as sinks and tubs and fixtures and faucets and bathrooms and even appliances. But it's really important that you carefully budget these items based upon what your projected income is for that property and your overall business plan. What you don't want to do is to go into a C-class property, for example, and do A-class upgrades. In other words, you know, granite countertops, all stainless steel appliances, etc. When you're really not going to be getting the level of tenant that really insists on those kinds of things. The increased cash flow should cover whatever your investment is in improvements and upgrades. Besides physical improvements, you can reduce expenses. This will increase cash flow as well. Some expenses that can be easily taken care of are restructuring loans. Maybe there's a loan, you assumed a loan, or you have a loan with it that you want to refinance after a year to get a better interest rate, again, increasing your cash flow. Or you can negotiate in the loan to pay interest-only payments for a year to boost your cash flow, use those extra funds to continue to finance your improvements. You can reduce owner-funded expenses, things like water, electrical heating, and so forth. Water conservation efforts are great, especially if you're paying the water bill. Low flush toilets and economic faucets, and you can even hire firms that come in and analyze your water usage and come up with recommendations to how you can conserve more water. Electrical rewiring, putting in LED bulbs, sensor lighting, so with timers and things like that. We upgraded our units and upgraded them so that each unit could handle 220. This allowed us to be able to put some of the heating requirements. Now, in the property that I'm working with right now in Indianapolis, we pay gas and water. Tenants pay electrical. Well, by us taking and rewiring those rooms, each individual unit, we were able to transfer the heating to a baseboard electrical heating that they control, and of course they pay for. And we basically, you know, shut down the boiler in the basement that would heat up all of the units. So it's really a good move for us. We're able to switch a lot of our expenses to, again, the tenant. Other areas you can reduce expenses include challenging your property tax assessments. There are firms that do this. They'll go right in and deal with your local county to negotiate a better tax bill for you each year on your property taxes. You can also get competitive bids on your insurance and try to reduce insurance costs. You can also, regarding any kind of contracts on that property, you can negotiate or hire new services for things like lawn care, pest control, pool service, security, and so forth. I'd mentioned briefly, you know, repositioning, and repositioning versus a value add play. They are very different, although they're often mentioned in the same sentence, because sometimes people will have a value add play to help in a repositioning of a property. But don't confuse value add with repositioning, because they are very different. Repositioning is really where you're really changing sort of the whole status of that asset. It involves what I would say more of a transformation into a different type of asset. For example, you know, you've got a building you bought that was a weekly rental type of men's hotel, for example, you know, in the inner city, and you're upgrading it into student housing, for example, or you take a Section 8 low income housing and you're going to convert it over to senior housing. And there are a number of other types of repositioning efforts that you can do that to upgrade into maybe a stronger or more solid income base that you might be going after. It does get more complicated. It's more than just raising rents and doing a few improvements and repositioning. It involves really a targeted effort to replace the current tenant base with a completely different type of tenant. Now, it's easiest, I think, when you have 100% vacant asset to just start over and really target only a certain type of tenant to come in. But people will do a transformation, taking an existing clientele and start bringing in new clientele. And that's a lot harder. In fact, that's kind of what we're doing in Indianapolis. It's really trying to bring in a higher level of tenant, and the requirements are going to be higher, and they're going to want a better quality of a living experience. And so in order to do that, it's a little bit tricky, but not impossible to manage. Does a value add always work? Well, no, just because you say you're going to do a value add doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. You really must know your market, and the market must be right, and the property must be right. So how do you know if the market and the property are right? Do your homework. That's the most important thing. Study your market, understand your market well, talk to people who know that area where your asset is located, and get good information. Once you come up with what you think is a good plan, run it by an experienced mentor or somebody who hopefully knows your market or has done this type of value add play themselves. Well, that's really all we're covering, you know, today. I just kind of gave you a quick overview. There's definitely a lot more that can be said about value add, but I really wanted to, you know, just present it to you to take a look at it and see if that makes sense for you in your efforts as you move ahead in your real estate investing. And as I mentioned in every show, everything that I mentioned here is available in our show notes on olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. So it's in the blog section. This is going to be episode number 046. So you can look it up and get all the show notes about everything that I mentioned today. Well, that's it. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.